This is Radio Influence.
Introducing the Crusher.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
All right, everybody, and welcome to Crush Performance. I am Jeff Crushell, and we are your weekly source for performance information. We are joined, as usual, by the con man. He's behind the glass, keeping us on track. And if you want to get in touch with us with any questions, comments, smart remarks, do it. The website, crushperformance.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, at Jeff Crush is my handle. I don't do a lot on Twitter or the social media. I'm getting the hang of it. But when we do put something on there, it's probably pretty important if you're interested in overall performance. And if you're on Facebook, we've got this cool little group going on. It's called the Talent Grid. And we're just inviting people to join and talk shop. We have some world-renowned scientists. Some of our pro athletes are in there. We've got coaches. We have business people. We've got parents and, of course, the developing athlete as well. It's a great little community. If you want to go on Facebook and check that out, it's called the Talent Grid. All you have to do is apply. We let you in, and then we can communicate there. There's a great conversations going on. Today, we got a great show. Listen, when it comes to overall human performance, we've got a real strong handle on the physical side. There's no question about it. We also have, I think, a real good understanding of the biochemistry and the 24-hour cycle that is the human body, the circadian rhythms of sleep and recovery. So when we look at where can we go next to push human performance to the next level, there's a couple areas that stand out, and that's what we're going to get at today. We are joined in studio by registered psychologist John Stevenson from Zone Performance. John, thanks for joining us today.
Once again, thanks for having me, Jeff.
Well, I'm interested about today's conversation because we're going to talk about the mind. I think it is one of the last real areas of untapped potential. We're getting a better understanding of the mind. And if you look at the last 5, even 10 years, the idea of psychology and the mental aspects of controlling performance have really come to the forefront because I think people are understanding how important it is. So I'm looking forward to that conversation. And on top of the mind, I think there's another area that's really going to influence human performance as we move forward, and that's the influence of technology. And I'm talking not just technology in terms of equipment that we use in sport, but I'm talking about technology that we use to prepare athletes for sport. And also some of the technology we're going to talk about today, John, in your profession, the technology that's now allowing us to not just understand the mind better, but also train and control the mind.
Absolutely. The big thing now is, you know, when they talked about sports psychology, it was always this intangible, you couldn't measure it. And more now we can actually do that. So we can literally put it in the terms of weight training for the brain.
Yeah, interesting. And this goes well beyond sport. I mean, heck, certainly in sport, no question about it. But, you know, if you're a business person, a CEO in the C-levels or the corner office of a major company, a lawyer, certainly for our police and our firemen, our military, you know, we know they're focusing on the mind just in terms of safety and decision making right now, but also in school and academics. Recreational sport and also music. There's so many applications when it comes to it. But before we get to the deep conversation, it is a super weekend to be talking sports because, of course, coming up tomorrow, Sunday, is the 51st rendition of the NFL Super Bowl. And if there were ever a sporting spectacle that requires, I guess, man, top performance, this is one of them. It is one of the premier events on the sporting calendar, and it's coming up tomorrow, John. So let's just start off here talking about what this game means to these players. I mean, it's a rough and tumble season. We all know what the NFL is about. These are the best players on the planet, and now they are going to partake in what might be one of the most watched sporting events on the calendar. And you can't tell me that there isn't some residual pressures that exist in the Super Bowl that aren't there, let's even say, on a regular weekday game.
You're right. but the athletes that treat it as another game, those are the mentally tough athletes where they can look at it in a way. I always joke with my athletes, does the football know that it's a big game? Does the field know that it's a big game? Well, often, no, it's the story. It's the hoopla around the big event. And when an athlete can look at it as, yeah, I just go do what I do, focus on, and I often use the phrase control the controllables, focus on doing what you do. And if you do that, you give yourself the best chance to perform really well.
Yeah, I love professional football. And that's why this is a great way to maybe kick off the conversation today. If we look at simply the preparation that goes into getting a player ready for the NFL as an example, the developmental process, you know, we're looking at an industry that is really leading the way when it comes to player development. Now, there's an upside and a downside to that, especially when we talk about something like the combines, where these players will come in to Indianapolis and they will be evaluated based on physical testing, mental testing, and skill testing by every single team in the league and beyond. And you know, when we look at the preparation that goes into the getting these players ready for the professional level of sport, we've gone to another level. And I mentioned it earlier, we really do have a grasp on the physical side. If we're trying to make an athlete faster, stronger, to jump higher, that's not going to be a problem. It really isn't. We understand that inside and out. Here's the issue, though. If you don't understand that, or if you don't have that, it's number one priority, because you can't succeed in the world of sport anyway if you haven't harnessed and tapped into your full physical potential.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and in our hierarchies, what we talk about, John, is we talk about the athlete being the number one priority. Listen, we really focus on the athlete development, and then we hand them over into the world of player development, because we know if we're going to maximize playing performance, regardless of whatever sport it is, we have to have an accomplished athlete. And it takes years to develop an athlete. And there's a lot of factors that go into developing an athlete as well, especially if you look at the long-term process that we're now involved in. And in our world, the priorities for athlete development are as follows. And we could be talking about our NFL, our pro football guys we work with, our baseball guys, our hockey players, our golfers, our college athletes. But there's a hierarchy regardless of whether you're a weekend warrior or a world-class Olympic professional athlete. And here it is. And this is just how it works. Our number one priority when we develop a program is rest and recovery. All the work and the intensity of the work that we do revolves around the quality of the rest and the amount of the rest and recovery an athlete can get over any period of time. And, you know, that period of time could be a 24-hour period. It could be a 7-day period. It could be a month block, however we break it down. But rest and recovery is number one. It will determine how much work and the intensity of the work that we're able to do with the athlete. Inside of rest and recovery, our number one priority, you and I have talked about this before, is sleep. Quality of sleep and amount of sleep. Just when we talk about human performance period, that's standard for everybody. Second, standard for everybody. And I don't care if we're talking about the business people, the first chair of the Philharmonic Orchestra, nutrition. Nutrition is critical. You know, back in the day, your mom said, hey, you are what you eat. Well, she knew exactly what she was talking about, because we are what we eat. And our performance reflects, for the most part, you know, our 24-hour cycle of nutrition and our biochemistry. Inside of that, of course, we have hydration, which is probably one of the most underrated and undervalued performance factors out there. If you want to influence performance, there's no easier way than getting into a hydration program.
Can I?
Yeah, anytime.
Add one, Jeff. What's really come up recently, everything you said is bang on, spot on, but the influence of electronics has been a huge factor. A lot of athletes, particularly our younger athletes in that long-term development model, they have no idea how much that hurts their brain.
Mm-hmm.
Just the blue light off the electronics. You know, if you talk to any medical doctor, one of the first things they tell you, get off the electronics. Well, why? And the amount of kids now that are on social media, Instagram, and all of that, and they don't realize, you know, they put their phone beside their bed and they're waiting for that ping. And so they don't get that really good, deep, restful sleep, as opposed to put your phone away, put it off. And it's amazing how many athletes that my wife and I've dealt with where, when, if they've unfortunately suffered a concussion and we've asked them to put their phone away, and oh my gosh, it's impossible. And the research is showing that it's even more addicting than heroin.
Right.
And it's a huge factor that I want parents to be aware of, and more importantly, the kids, because to get that good, deep, restful sleep, that's going to allow them to do whatever type of training or performing the following day.
Yeah. Depending on the age of our athletes, 9 to 8 hours of sleep per night. If they're going to bed at 10, their phones have to be off by 8. They can check them maybe once or twice, but we need the melatonin. We need to start getting ready for quality sleep. So we have a technology ban in our programs, especially for our elite athletes, which is difficult because it is addicting. We know the dopamine response, as you said, is as addicting as heroin, drugs, alcohol, or cigarettes. That's a proven fact. So let's talk about that more on the show for sure, because that goes into our talk about sleep. Yes, the blue light for sure, but also just the activity of the brain. If we're just sending a text, the actual cognitive effort it takes to think and type and make sense of the words, and also then to read it. It's a big, big issue. And again, that's why sleep, and in our sleep programs, that's one of our top factors for sure. Once we get into it, though, you know, there's a lot of different factors that come into play. Nutrition. Once after nutrition, depending on the expert we're looking at, if it's a sport expert, if it's an athlete, for example, we would look at posture and then movement. For a business person, we might look at time management, stress management, or decision making. There's so many factors involved depending on what we're doing. But regardless of what type of expert we're looking at, we know that tapping into and controlling the mind is going to be critical. And that's why I'm so excited about today's conversation. We're joined in studio by registered psychologist John Stevenson of Zone Performance. But before we get to that, again, the big game, let's get back to it. Just some numbers. Here's some fun numbers that revolve around the Super Bowl, just to give you an idea of why this is one of the greatest spectacles on the sporting calendar, okay? Super Bowl 51. There will be about 1.3 billion chicken wings sold, just so you know, all right? Pizza Hut is getting set to sell an estimated 2 million pizzas, and Domino's is gearing up for 12 million slices of pizza, all right? In the U.S. alone, there will be about $5.5 billion spent on Super Bowl-related items. Okay, Houston, the hosting city, is going to enjoy an influx of around $400 million into their economy just because of the Super Bowl. It's big business. And even more impressive, listen to this. It is estimated that there will be 325 million gallons of beer drank on Super Bowl Sunday. Now, that's an impressive number, just to give you an idea. I'm telling you right now, should it be a national holiday? It's also estimated, despite all the benefits of the Super Bowl, it's estimated that companies on Super Bowl Monday will lose about $1 billion in lost productivity because of Super Bowl festivities.
I'm not sure if this is true, Jeff, but I had heard that the incidence of domestic violence with Super Bowl has increased.
Really? So why is that now?
I don't know. I remember hearing that, but I'm not quite sure. But
that's because your wife's cheering for the Patriots and the husband's cheering for the Falcons, right? Well, I don't know about that, but I'm telling you right now, if you want to go to the game, okay, if you want to go to the game, a ticket's selling right now for about $2,500. And if you want to get a seat behind the end zone, $20,000 right now to get a ticket. A 30-second ad will cost about $5 million. All right. And if we look at the conversation we're going to have today, there's a rhyme and reason to this dialogue. It is a big event. There's a lot on the line, and the league is trying to grow, and they're trying to promote their players and their teams. But inside of the NFL, there are some great franchises that continually compete for the postseason and for the playoffs and the Super Bowl. The Pittsburgh Steelers have a total of 6 Super Bowls. They're the league leader in number of Super Bowls. The Cowboys and 49ers have 5. The Patriots, Packers, and New York Giants have 4. So my question right now, con man, John, who are you pulling for this weekend in the Super Bowl? Okay, I'll give you just the Vegas rundown right now. Has the Patriots with a slight edge. And according to the latest polls, only about 27% of the surveyed population, which is North America, will be cheering for the Patriots. 53% are pulling for Atlanta. The rest are undecided. Con man, you're a big football guy. Who do you got?
Yeah, well, there's no way I'm cheering for the Patriots. I'm a Chargers fan, and I just could not stand to see Tom Brady hoist another Lombardi. like, I'll give them credit. I respect the team. I love the franchise. They're the idol franchise. I wish the Chargers were more like them, but I'm pulling for the Atlanta Falcons. I think they have a chance, too. I think Julio Jones could be the game breaker, even if he's in double coverage, being 6'4", having that reach that he has, the jumping ability. He's, even when he's covered, he's not covered. So I think that he might be able to be just a big enough of a game changer to sway things in favor of the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay, I like it, Johnny. And why?
Well, I'm pulling for the Matt Ryan. And one of the reasons why I'm pulling for him is one of the tools that we have at our facility is called the Cognizance Neuro Tracker. And it literally helps players to see the playing surface at faster and faster rates and help them to make better decisions. And one of the things that he's really credited his season to this year has been his repetitive use of the Neuro Tracker. So I'd be lying to say I'm not a little bit biased. Having said that, to see, you know, Brady get suspended and then come back, that takes a lot of mental toughness. And I've always been a big fan of Belichick's motto, know your job and do your job. You know, if you're an offensive guard, do your job. If you're a wide receiver, do your job. Don't try to do someone else's job. And I think that's been a lot of success for the Patriots over the years.
Yep, I agree. That whole mindset. And we'll talk about Matt Ryan and the Neuro Tracker because that's a classic example of what we're going to talk about today. You know, harnessing that mental side of the game. But for a game like football where it's so visual, especially as a quarterback, we're going to try to connect the dots and see how something like the Neuro Tracker, first of all, we'll explain what the Neuro Tracker is, but also how it can help an athlete in sport. Fellas, listen, I don't like picking the favorite, but after watching the Patriots in the playoff, that O-line, I'm just telling you, Brady can have a picnic and a cup of tea before he has to throw the ball. I just don't think they can be beat. I don't think so. I think they're too strong, and I think they're going to take it. So I'm going to go for the Patriots. I'm a Raiders fan. Let's get it straight.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, he doesn't get pressured very often. And the problem with the Patriots is you have to get to him with a 4 or 5-man rush. If you blitz more, Tom Brady's going to evaluate the defense so quickly, he's going to find who's open and he's going to tear you apart. So it's going to be huge for the guys like Vic Beasley, maybe Dwight Freeney, the old veteran, gets in there and can make a play. But you're right. If they don't get to Tom Brady, he's going to tear that defense a new one.
Yeah, and that's one thing that the Patriots do so well. Hey, we're going to talk about the sport cultures. We're going to talk about how some of these teams and how we're looking at tapping into the power of the mind with John Stevenson here coming up after the break. But before we do, the question of the day. What is the main factor? What do you think is the main factor that separates a great organization from the rest? We could look at the great NFL teams. We could look at the great business organizations or even great individuals who aspire and succeed above the against the odds and above the pack. If you're listening live, text us at 101260. What is the main factor that separates a great organization from the rest? Or on Twitter at Jeff Crush. When we come back, we're going to look at how we can tap into the power of the mind. And later on the show, we'll talk about the influence of technology on human performance with John Stevenson from Zone Performance on Crush Performance right after this. Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you're a serious athlete, a weekend warrior, parent, or coach, join us each week as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the sport performance world. We'll visit with top athletes, coaches, and sports scientists to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it truly takes to achieve human maximum performance. You can visit us online at crushperformance.com, and Crush Performance Radio with me, Jeff Crochelle, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and at Radio Influence.
Find out what it takes to be a top performer. Get the Crush blog, podcast, and newsletter at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to the show. I am Jeff Crochelle. The Con Man is here. And today we are talking about tapping into your potential, the power of the mind. We're joined in studio by John Stevenson from Zone Performance. John, thanks for joining us again today.
Very much appreciated to be here.
Well, let's get down to the nitty gritty. We've talked about the Super Bowl. We've made our picks. Now come what may. As we always talked about, the results are greatly out of our control. So we'll sit back, enjoy a cold one, along with the other 325 million gallons of beer that's going to be drank on Super Bowl Sunday, according to the latest polls. And we'll see what happens. But listen, all joking aside, I am always fascinated by these big sporting events. There's a lot of things that come along to it. Or come along with an event like this. The Olympics would be a great example. You know, for the professional athlete, with the way the competitive calendars have gone, being on every single night is a real, real challenge. We know that can't be 100%, But for a massive event like the Super Bowl, there has to be a major focus on the player. So let's talk about this. When we look at tapping into the mind, sports psychology has come a long way, even in the last 5 years. And we could probably go back and say the last 2 years have been a real game changer because some of the technology that we'll talk about later on. But John, let's talk about your job, registered psychologist. In the terms of human performance, maybe even beyond sport, what are some of the things that we know about when it comes to tapping into the potential of the mind?
Well, I know that mental toughness, it's key. And at this time of the year in the Super Bowl, everybody's good. Everybody, you know, can block, everybody can pass. But it's having that ability. My number one factor is focus. And when you are playing well, I always joke with the clubs and the teams that I work with that, you know, when you're playing well, what's your focus like? And a lot of the parents and the kids will say, well, focus is really good. When you're not performing well, what's your focus like? And the answer 99.9% of the time is, well, his focus is terrible or focus was bad. And it's just the opposite. Their focus is really, really good. And a lot of strange looks. When you're performing well, your focus is good because you're focusing on the right thing at the right time in the right way. When you're performing poorly, your focus is awesome, but it's on the wrong thing at the wrong time in the wrong way. And so one of the first things that we do with the athletes is teach them what are the things that you need to be paying attention to. What are the critical factors that are going to allow you to perform at your best, whether you're a Celtic dancer, whether you're a gymnast, whether you're a figure skater, whether you're an NFL or CFL football player. What are the key things that if you really focus on this is going to allow you to do task execution? That's the first step. But then the second thing, and you hear this all the time, you know, Minor Hockey Week was just a few weeks ago. James, focus. Come on, focus. Well, what does that mean? And so the second part is what we do is we teach our clients how to focus, the actual skill. And whether it's in the business world, like you're talking about the 80-20 rule, what are the two activities that if you really focus on them are going to generate 80% of the results in your business? Then how are you going to do that? What's going to allow you to do that so that you can do it easily and effortlessly? And that's the first thing that we talk about. So we can harness that. Then right behind that is that skill of poise and composure. Because you can, if you're not calm, right, what happens? You get mental tunneling. You start to get your muscles start to tighten up. So being able to be relaxed, being able to be focused, having the right attitude going into your event. You know, we've talked about this big event. Well, is it really a big event? The language that we use, just a lot of the kids that I've seen here in the last couple of weeks, they had departmentals. I got a big exam. Well, why is it big? And so when you start to use, just being more aware of the language that you're using can have a huge impact on how you're feeling.
I love it. We're talking with John Stevenson, registered psychologist and founder and owner of Zone Performance. This is a great perspective. You know, the Super Bowl, it's just another football game. It's all the rigmarole around the game that makes it such a big event, right?
Right.
And no, there's no question it's a culmination of a year of battling and warring it out on the field to earn the spot to compete there. And that's important. And again, you know, this is like the final shot. It's a big game. So there are some changes there. But at the end of the day, I love what you're saying. The game doesn't change.
It doesn't.
Like, and that's a mindset.
And it is. The way the Patriots played in their fourth week, same mindset, right? They're not thinking about this is the Super Bowl come fourth week. This is another football game. Is it easy to do? No, but that's the mental mindset that you need to have. And when you've done, again, I always, because I work with so many kids, we talk about if you have a math exam next week, well, can you guarantee me that you're going to get 100% on that exam? No. But if I study, if I take good notes, if I take practice exams, like you mentioned earlier, if I'm getting good sleep, good nutrition, the way I like to equate it is if you and I are going to win the lotto, Well, the first thing we got to do is buy a ticket. And if we want to increase our chances, we buy more. And so when we start to do, you know, we mentioned Matt Ryan, okay, Tom Brady, they're doing all these quote unquote small things away from the field, on the field. They're always working on their craft. And so now when they get into this performance tomorrow, a lot of times when people come to see me, they think I'm going to get them to think. In fact, I'm going to do the opposite. I want them to get out of their head. I want them to trust their training. So when people train, ultimately the whole point of it is, one is to be prepared. Two is to keep getting better. And three, but ultimately, to me, it's muscle memory. Like you're going there to the point where you're just trusting your training and you believe in everything that you've done. And now if you do that, you have, it's like that, you know, for the kids with their school exams, if they've done everything they possibly can, they feel good. And when they're feeling good, they give themselves a better chance to perform well.
Sure. Preparation. And you know what? Learning how to prepare properly is also part of the process. Over the years of development, you learn how to prepare properly. And as you move up the competitive chain, or if you move up the academic chain, or you move up in the business world, the competition and the environment requires more of you, and you just have to prepare and adapt for it.
We're just, you know, in studio here, just watching Brady with his young daughter here, and he's having fun.
Yeah.
Right? If you ask these guys, this is what they love this. They love this challenge. This is fun. This is exciting. And so, and as much as there's quote unquote a lot of on the line, a lot of those guys tomorrow, I've dreamt about this, right? And they're having fun. They're enjoying it. And that to me, in any sport, that's one of the things when you're going out and you're just enjoying it. Like a lot of times people, well, I can't have fun. I got to be serious. As opposed to, you know, and the goofy thing is when you start to have fun first, then the results start to take care of themselves.
Yeah, true.
And I think there's so much emphasis on winning and getting results. But when you're going out and you're just enjoying what you do, you love it because, you know, you just love hitting a golf ball. Then the results start to take care of themselves.
Yeah, if you know what to do.
Absolutely.
So as we mentioned before, I think, you know, when it comes to the world of sport performance, on the physical side, we have it down. Look, we could take any athlete. I could take any athlete on the planet right now. I don't care what they do. I can help them get bigger, faster, and stronger. It's not a problem. And again, that's what I've done all my life. So I know how to do that. And that's not hard. We know how that process works. When it comes to chemistry and its influence on performance, we know about nutrition now in a 24-hour cycle and over time, and how to work that into the model. But it seems, John, that, you know, the mental side of sport, it's not as simple as if you want to get stronger, here's what you do. If you want to get faster, here's what you do. Because when we talk about improving human performance, and let's use sport as an example here, when we're looking to improve an outcome, and let's just say, take for example, strength. It could be speed, it could be agility, it could be vision, it could be any tangible, you know, I guess, performance factor that you can measure and influence. We can do that because what we do is we evaluate if an athlete needs to get faster, for example, or stronger, for example. We put them in an environment that requires them to become faster or stronger. So to get stronger, we take them into the weight room and we program a weight program. We put a stress on the body that elicits a change. The body has no choice but to change. The trick of the art there is you got to make sure you put the right kind of stress, build the right kind of strength for the outcome you're looking for. Here's what I'm trying to get to. When it comes to the brain, it's not quite that simple. We can't just go weight training for the brain, or we just can't put a stress on the brain and hope for an outcome. Or with some of this new technology, like you talked about Matt Ryan and the NeuroTracker, can we now?
Absolutely.
And that's a fascinating thing. I think this is the breakthrough part of human performance that gets me so excited about these conversations is now, you know, and I've been down to your facility. I just got my brain map done and it was interesting. I mean, it was fascinating to see where my brain is at. And I'm going to be interested to put some of those stresses on my brain to see if it works like we would, you know, in the weight room, or to create speed or agility or eye-hand coordination. It's fantastic.
Well, the simplest one, you know, a few years ago when we talked about heart rate variability training.
Right.
So the beauty of biofeedback is it can take the invisible and make it visible.
So for the parents, coaches, people who are listening, let's just do a real quick 30-second definition of biofeedback.
So it's literally monitoring all your physiological responses, your skin temperature, your skin conductance, which is like your sweat gland response, your muscle tension in your body, your heart rate, those type of factors. We can literally measure the stress response.
Sure.
And so when Olympic athletes, part of what the Canadian Own the Podium program is doing, Dr. Penny Werther at the University of Calgary,
yeah,
she's literally working on the biofeedback of teaching athletes how to monitor and, more importantly, self-regulate that stress response.
So I can self-regulate the temperature of my body.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. Just like one of the Fabulous Four or Fantastic Four.
It's getting
Agents
more and
of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Absolutely.
I can adapt to my environment now.
Right. And so when they, and the great thing about it is when a client can see their breathing, they can physically see their breathing, and then they can see that their heart rate is mirroring their breathing. What we're literally doing is we're putting that client in the optimal, ideal performance state, because to make it really simple, they're learning how to balance their nervous system. They're getting good blood flow to their body. They're getting good blood flow and oxygen to their brain. And when you're doing that, you're improving their cognitive capacities, their ability to visually and auditorily pay attention, their memory, those type of literally day-to-daily functions that we need in any performance environment.
Yeah, fantastic. So this is an interesting conversation. We got to cut out for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to wrap this up with some pretty insightful stuff from John Stevenson of Zone Performance. The question of the day is, what do you think is one of the main factors that separates great organizations from the rest? And again, we talked earlier about the great NFL teams, the Steelers with 6 Super Bowls, the Cowboys and 49ers with 5, the Patriots, Packers, and the New York Giants with 4. We can go from sport to sport. We can even talk about business, Lego, Google, Walgreens, Abbott's Labs. There's so many examples of organizations that outperform their peers. And a lot of it has to do with that internal structure that we talk about. But the question of the day, though, we've got a great answer via text. If you do want to get to us via the Boston Pizza text line, is 10-12-60. Standard text rates do apply. Or you can get to us on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Let us know what you think. What is the main factor that separates great organizations from the rest? And a great answer here. A magic word that I talk about all the time, consistency. We'll talk about that when we come back on Crush Performance.
Radio Influence brings you the best in digital media broadcasting. When it comes to sports, we've got experts like national sports radio host Rich Herrera, the fabulous Sports Babe, and former Major League Baseball manager Kevin Kennedy. Want a good laugh? Then go on the beach with Pants and Roller Girl, or just LOL with Nancy Alexander. And when it comes to real life, Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger and Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill will make you think. When it comes to what you want, Radio Influence has you covered. Find our programming on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at CrushPerformance.com. Now, back to the show.
You bet, more Crush Performance right now. I am Jeff Crushell, and this is Crush Performance, your weekly place for performance information. We're joined today in studio by John Stevenson, registered psychologist from Zone Performance. And of course, behind the glass, the con man is keeping us on track. Hey, today we're talking about maybe the last bastion, the last stronghold for pushing human performance to the next level. And for all intents and purposes, it's the mind. We've got a great stranglehold on the physical side. We've got a great understanding of nutrition and the performance factors that go around that. But tapping into the mind and the influence of technology on human performance, I think that's where we're going next. And John, thanks for joining us today.
Again, thank you for having me.
So it's been a fantastic conversation so far. We have a lot to cover here in the next 12 minutes. But the question of the day, text question in the Boston Pizza text line, 10-12-60. If you're listening live, let us know what you think. What is the main factor that separates a great organization from the rest? And a great one that's come in sort of resonates with me, because I talk about this with our athletes and the organizations that I work with all of the time. And it's one magical word, consistency. That is just so critical in getting performance outcomes. The approach and the systems within the organization And if we look at some of the great organizations in virtually every sport, you'll see a lot of that word going on.
When I got introduced, in the 90s, when I went and did my grad school at the U of A, I was the goalie coach for the U of A Golden Bears at the time. And do you know what their motto is, Jeff? It's amazing what gets accomplished when no one cares who takes the credit. And I have to give a lot of credit to Billy Morris, because one of the things that I quickly realized is the standard. That's, if I had to pick, you're asking that question, standards, razor standards, and that there's that culture, and that this is the standard, and this is how we conduct ourselves, and this is how we behave. And if you do that, then ultimately what happens is your consistency takes care of itself.
Yeah. Hey, so let's talk about that. That's an interesting perspective, standards. So how would you evaluate, or let's go this, how would you define standards? I mean, that's, man, there's so many things that could be involved there. So I like what you're saying, but let's maybe clear that up a little bit, because I think that's a critical process to being consistent. You're right. But when we talk about standards, little things like, hey, don't be late. Hey, wear your uniform straight. You know, we did a show last year with some players who had, in Major League Baseball, played with several teams, but they'd all gone through the Yankees organization. And there's something different about playing in pinstripes. And the word that you just said is a word that every one of those guys used. The standards there are different. Playing in New York is different because the standards are so high. It's different. So it's interesting. If somebody asked you, hey, what would those standards be? Like, what would you say?
One of the first things that comes to my mind, Jeff, honestly, it would go back to this control the controllable, effort level. Mm. Effort level is something that you can bring every time. And that's a, you know, there's a standard for effort level and compete level and intensity level. And those are things, again, if you emphasize the things that you have control over, this is not an option. And I think that's what makes great organizations great.
I love it. And you mentioned earlier, you know, we're picking our teams for the Super Bowl coming up, and you mentioned the Patriots and Belichick and the way he's run that organization and set it up. There are standards in that organization, guaranteed.
Absolutely. And I love that phrase, do your job, do your job. And when you do that, it allows you to create clarity. And when you have clarity, you have great focus. And that's, these are the standards for you to do your job really well. And again, I don't know the coach, but I'm going to probably take a guess. Process, process, process.
Right.
These are the processes that if we do these, this gives us the best chance to win.
Yeah, we're joined in studio by John Stevenson, registered psychologist with Zone Performance. You could check out their great website, zoneperformance.ca. Well, John, we talk about Belichick and great leadership and, you know, setting the standards, as you mentioned. It sounds like a game of empowerment almost. Do your job is Belichick's sort of thing. You know, we know that's kind of their mantra. But I guarantee, in order for him to say that, he makes sure that every man on that roster knows exactly what they need to do.
Absolutely.
And he empowers them to go out and do it.
Absolutely. And game film, you know, doing game film, studying, learning the position. And it could be, hey, if this is the time that we do game film, you be here at a certain time. If you're not, boom, you're gone.
Yep. I love it.
Crush, another thing that's really specific about the Patriots, and you've heard this from all the teams that do the mixed practices with them, they say they practice at another level.
Right.
Like, there's no messing around. Everyone's practicing. They're all focused. It doesn't take long to explain. They're from one drill to the next drill. And we've heard from a ton of players that have, you know, been on the outside just watching them saying, wow, this looks nothing like our practice. And yeah. That's Bill Belichick. He runs his practices so strict and precise. And it translates on Sundays.
Man, there's so much to be learned from these great organizations and these great leaders. Hey, fellas, you know, and that just goes back, Connor, the great comment, because that goes back to the whole concept of you can only rise to the level of your preparation. Those guys are preparing at another level. And inside of that organization, that's just modus operandi. That's standard issue. So that's fascinating.
Yeah, really. And top to bottom, just they bring guys in. Bill Belichick does such a great job of finding players that fit the system, right? If someone fits, that's great. I mean, look at Chris Hogan. He's, well, you know, other teams don't want him. Danny Amendola, they draft Julian Edelman, a former quarterback at a small school, went to Kent State. and they turn these guys into players who on Sundays contribute. That's the one of the more fascinating things about me. He'll take players.
Don't you think, Common, that when they watch, like I know from my experience, if they watch a Tom Brady and they see how hard that guy works, it just that culture. It just you witness it and you're like, oh my gosh, like look at that guy and look how hard he works.
Yeah.
And I know for Braden Holtby, you know, that was one of the things that when he talked about the Capitals and the effort level and the demand level. And I mean, Braden was telling the players, when you come down, shoot at me. Like, I want you to challenge me. And that phrase you were talking about, the business world, Kaizen, constant and never ending improvement, that just desire to want to get better.
Yeah.
Whatever. And so, you know, your job. So if Braden Holtby's job is to stop the puck, what are all the things that I can do physically, technically, tactically, mentally, lifestyle that are going to allow me to do my job to the best of my ability? And then to me, mental toughness is you look at yourself and you go, where do I need to get better in each of those areas? And just that want to, you know, get better for you, not only for yourself, but your teammates as well. And that there's just that culture, just that atmosphere. You can feel it in the room.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, you follow the lead of Tom Brady. There's also been stories of Bill Belichick ripping Tom Brady first day of camp. So no one can get away from it. If you have to be called out, you will be. And I think the players see that like, oh, Belichick really went after Brady there. I better follow what he says so he doesn't get after me too.
Yeah, that's standards right there. I know, it's fascinating. And John, you bring up another interesting conversation as well, or twist on this conversation, is the fact that, okay, we've got all this great culture, but if we don't have the tools inside of that culture to help our employees, our students, or our players perform at the highest level, you can't. So, you know, again, getting back to the theme of the day is tapping into the mental side and the influence of technology on performance. We know these teams leave no stone unturned when it comes to helping their athletes perform. And, you know, we just had a great conversation earlier about Matt Ryan, of course, quarterback with the Falcons, using the NeuroTracker to work on his attention, maybe his vision, maybe his focus. There's a lot of different things the NeuroTracker can do for an athlete. Let's talk about that for a second.
Sure. So my wife, Jackie, she's the cognitive perceptual trainer at Zone Performance. And if you're playing any dynamic sport, lacrosse, soccer, football, hockey, basketball, your ability to perceive the environment, we use it with the military. We use it with the SWAT force. It's your ability to make quick, rapid, concise decisions. That's brain processing speed.
Right.
And your ability to visually track, your visual clarity, your ability to do multiple object tracking, the speed at which you can read the play. Because literally, as you're going up the levels, that's the biggest factor. And literally, a tool where you get into this 3D perceptual cave and you can literally measure how well, and you can train it. And the key thing is, it's just taking time. And if a session can last 20 minutes, but boy, have you ever done a major improvement on your brain functioning.
So for the people who don't know what on earth a NeuroTracker is, let's talk about this for like 30 seconds. Can we lay it out just really quickly for everybody?
So a core program, you would come in, you're wearing 3D glasses, and there's eight yellow spheres. And because it's in 3D and that's how your brain learns, that's the difference between the brain training games on the computer. This is
two-dimensional as opposed to the three-dimensional.
Correct.
So
you're in 3D. This is how your brain learns. So now you've got these eight spheres. And all of a sudden, four of the spheres turn orange. And you have to remember that. And now there's a green dot in the middle of the screen, and you're keeping your focus. And what you have to do is all of a sudden the orange balls go back to yellow. You remember those. So that's a great example of working memory, knowing where your teammates are, knowing where the opposition is.
Yeah, darn right.
And then all of a sudden what happens is the balls start randomly moving everywhere. And at the end of this 8 seconds, and you're like, what? 8 seconds? You have to identify where those four balls are. And if you do it correctly with your peripheral, the speed of the machine gets faster and faster and faster. And so what happens is your brain, like the comment we hear all the time, is the game is slowed down. Well, the game hasn't slowed down. Your ability to process information and analyze it and react and respond to it is dramatically
improved. Oh, it's a time play. I love it, man. I cannot believe the music's playing. 30 seconds. John, listen, we didn't get to a lot of great stuff. We'll defer it for another conversation another day. I want to thank you for coming in today on the eve of the Super Bowl. What a great conversation.
Thanks again for having me.
Conman, thank you for keeping us on track. And I want to thank everybody out there for listening. Next week, listen, it's a Crush must listen as we look at the influence of environment on your performance. We're going to look at one of the greatest human development investigations or experiments in history, the Bolger sisters. We're joined by Judith next week on Crush Performance. Be there.
Chef Brian Duffy here. I've got a new show called Duffified Live that's unlike anything you've ever heard. Each week, I'm going to be talking to some of my friends, some people I've never even met before. We're going to be talking about people that I meet on the road through some of my experiences. We're talking about restaurants, talking about great stories, great guests, wild adventures, the whole nine yards. Get Duffified Live with me, Chef Brian Duffy, each week on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.